You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
On a typical day, most people visit at least one of the top 50 websites in America. They range from weather.com and dictionary.com to the latest news from the New York Times. But just a quick glance to see the day's forecast could expose your computer to almost 100 different tracking programs, all of which are busily gathering personal information while you're innocently browsing the web. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Julia Angwin and a team of investigative reporters at The Wall Street Journal looked into just how much websites can collect about us without our knowledge, and she visited our show in August to talk about the resulting series called What They Know. We thought that we would air that conversation for you again today. I started off by asking her, did something specific get you interested in the matter of internet privacy?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, last time I was here, actually, I was talking about my book, Stealing MySpace. And one of the issues about all this social networking is that how much do you share about yourself and whether it's appropriate to share things online. And I started thinking about all the stuff that you share inadvertently, right? So you know when you put something up on MySpace or Facebook that you're sharing it, and hopefully you're making some sort of conscious decision about it. But all these tracking devices that we were writing about are things most people don't know about.
And so you began by looking at certain websites to see how much personal data was being tracked. How did that work?
Yeah, so what we did was we had a researcher who browsed all of the top 50 websites. He cleaned his computer, and then after visiting each site, he saw what kind of programs were installed. So basically, we were looking at three types of tracking technology. One is cookies, which people may be familiar with. It's simply a text file that's stored on your computer, and it usually just assigns you an ID number. Then there's also flash cookies, which are similar to cookies, but they live in your flash video player. So some people might not know that they exist, even if they delete their regular cookies. And then we looked at beacons, which are basically invisible elements. They're like invisible pixels on a web page. And oftentimes they're running sort of a live program that scans the page while you're on it.
Well, I understand the word beacons, but I don't understand why these other things are called cookies.
Yeah, you know, it's a funny question why they're called cookies. Apparently it comes from some old programming lore back in the days of Unix programming. They used to call files that went between computers magic cookies.
Well, you said that we can clean our cookies, and I was advised to do that on a regular basis. Am I really protecting myself by doing that?
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, I'm speeding up my computer by doing it. They slow down your computer, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how noticeable it is, but it's but yeah, theoretically, it's slowing you down. And it is a good idea to delete them. But as you probably have noticed, if you delete your cookies, sometimes really annoying things happen, like your Amazon password that you forgot is no longer stored. So cookies do serve an important function also.
Your study found that the nation's top 50 websites on average installed 64 pieces of tracking technology onto the computers of visitors. Was that number higher than you expected? It sounds pretty high to me.
Yeah, it was higher. I mean, we were trying to really figure out what was the scope of this industry, and we found that the scope was pretty big. You know, the site that had the most tracking was dictionary.com with 234 trackers installed.
And Dictionary explains that by the fact that they get money for installing those things?
They don't usually get paid directly, although sometimes people get paid directly to install this technology. But mostly it's part of a deal they have with an ad network. So the advertisers are basically willing to pay more for ads that are targeted, and meaning that it's targeted about knowing who you are. They'll pay more for an ad about that.
So, but they say that they're too small to support their own ad staff, so they need to get money anywhere they can.
Yeah, this is sort of the bargain that you have to strike in the new internet economy, is it's kind of a pay-to-play situation. If you want advertising that pays a higher rate, you have to sort of be willing to disclose information about the people on your website.
And dictionary.com officials argue that these programs don't really have an impact on a customer's experience, but that they do help to keep the website free. Do you buy that argument?
I mean, yeah, I think it's a legitimate argument. In a way, I think the part of it that is hard for most people to comprehend is I don't think most people know when you're going to dictionary.com that they're making that value exchange. Like, hi, I'm here. Here's my data. Give me a dictionary lookup back.
Well, I keep a dictionary on my desk because I find it just as quick to open up a real book as to go to dictionary.com. And now I'm feeling a lot better about doing that.
Good.
I'm feeling much less the Luddite than I did yesterday. But some websites don't do this. Doesn't Wikipedia have no tracking technology?
Yeah, Wikipedia has no trackers. And it's important to point out that Wikipedia has no advertising. It's a nonprofit and they raise money through fundraising. So they don't have to play in this world. If you want to have advertising, you basically almost required to have this kind of tracking.
So this is all connected to advertising. What sorts of information do these tracking programs actually collect?
Well, so what they want to know about you is your behavior. They're actually not that interested in your name. They want to know, are you in market for a car? That's like the greatest thing an advertiser can find out about you.
Means you have money to spend.
Yeah, you have money to spend, right? So they want to know, are you looking for a trip? Are you planning a trip? Are you on travel sites? Are you a sports enthusiast? They're looking for ways to target you with an ad. Now, where it gets a little creepy is they're also looking at, do you have a certain disease? And maybe they want to target you with drugs for that disease. So some of this targeting can be really useful or friendly, and some of it can feel a little invasive.
Is there any easy way to get a sense of what you're sharing each time you visit a website?
It's not super easy to find out, but you can. A few companies who do tracking, some of the bigger companies like Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, and some smaller companies that you may not have heard of, like BlueKai, offer you a window into what they know about you. So you can go to a page on their site and they basically say, here's a general sense of what we have in our database about the file on your computer, about your ID number, basically.
But this is different than when you go to Amazon and they tell you other books that you might be interested in.
Right.
They're just using algorithms there, aren't they?
Well, everybody here is using algorithms, right? So the difference is, though, that you went to Amazon and Amazon says, based on what you last transacted with me, Amazon, here's what I think you might like this time. What's happening now here is that when you cruised around the internet, behavior that you exhibited maybe 2 days ago on a different website is now sort of catching up with you on another website and maybe catching you off guard.
And they're stereotyping you, aren't they? If you're looking for a car or you're buying other upscale items or at least looking at them, you're more likely to get ads for wine paraphernalia. If you are poorer,
yes,
you're more likely to get ads for Pepsi.
Yeah. Basically, you are being put in some sort of demographic bucket many times, and those can be correct or incorrect. And we did sort of an experiment where we had a bunch of people test out how much a tracking company knew about them and whether they were right or wrong. And it was interesting to see that, you know, sometimes they can be pretty correct and sometimes they're pretty far off the mark.
Does the number of programs that are installed in your computer matter? Or are there particular bits of software that are more invasive than others?
Well, the most invasive type of software is this one that I mentioned earlier called a beacon. That's really just a live program that's running while you're on a web page. And theoretically, a beacon can capture basically everything you're doing. So where your mouse is
moving. Well, how does
the beacon
actually wind up attaching itself to you?
So it's actually embedded in the web page. It's an invisible pixel. So when the web page loads, that beacon loads too. And then it sort of launches a program that runs in the background. And that background program can see where you're moving your mouse. It can read the contents of the page. And it even could sometimes capture the keystrokes you're typing in if you're typing in something.
When you're visiting a website, is there any way you could be made aware that these programs are being installed?
Yeah, there are a few ways you can figure out what is going on. One of the best ways to do it is to install some software known as a browser plugin. So you add some additional software to your web browser and it can alert you when a beacon is live and you can block them.
But what about those little things, teeny type at the bottom of many sites that says our privacy policies?
Oh, yes, those privacy policies. So we read all those privacy policies for the top 50 websites, which, by the way, was an incredibly painful task since they are filled with legal jargon and thousands of lines long. Those privacy policies are there theoretically to tell you what's happening. So you implicitly have agreed that to be tracked by reading that policy, which says usually, you know, we are sharing your data with third-party companies.
And are there any laws that regulate these things, what they have to tell you and what they don't have to tell you?
Well, right now there are guidelines from the Federal Trade Commission, and the industry tries to enforce its own self-regulatory guidelines. But there's not a lot of laws in this area, as it's emerging really quickly.
My guest is Julia Angwin of the Wall Street Journal. She led a team that put together a five-part series called What They Know. And by the way, you can access that through our website at WNYC.org, where we have a link. Look for What They Know. Does the Wall Street Journal, which maintains a very big web presence, have a privacy policy?
Yeah, we do. And we also, we scanned our own website to see what kind of trackers were being installed. We found that the journal's website was slightly below average, installing 60 trackers, and the average site installed 64.
And so not that much difference.
That wasn't too much different.
But I would imagine that the Wall Street Journal trackers are aimed at a specific demographic as well. And it may be different if you're just taking advantage of the free part of the paper or whether you're buying the things that the Wall Street Journal sells.
Yeah.
I
mean,
if I pay, do I wind up being tracked as well?
Yeah. You know, the sad thing is that even when you pay, you are being tracked. So if you pay at many websites, you're still going to see the same number of trackers.
I'm sure there are people out there who visit porn sites who are afraid that they're going to be tracked differently.
We didn't scan any porn sites, but I would suggest maybe using the private browsing mode on your web browser.
Did your study find that even some of the companies whose websites you study weren't aware of just how intrusive the files that they were downloading from users' computers were?
Yeah, we found that most of the websites, not most, but many of the websites that we contacted, when we said to them, here's what we found on your site, they were often surprised. And the reason is that trackers are installed on a website many different ways. Sometimes the website has a relationship directly with that company, but oftentimes they might have a relationship with somebody else. Like there's an advertiser who places an ad, and in that ad they've installed a tracker. Or sometimes we found trackers that were installed inside of other trackers, so they like rode piggyback. So this distribution of trackers is kind of a wild west right now.
Did any of them, were any of them horrified and say, gee, we're going to remove some of them?
Yeah, several companies said they were going to remove trackers after hearing from us.
I think what probably would bother people most is that you're just so unaware of what sort of privacy invasions are happening while you're innocently looking at a website.
Exactly. And I think there are some people in the ad industry, the online ad industry, who argue that actually if we showed consumers exactly what we knew about them, they wouldn't be that upset. But it's the mystery of who are these people? I've never heard of them, and they all have a file about me, and which is why some of the companies are trying to offer a little bit of a window into what they know about you.
Julia Angwin is here, the Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist who led a team of investigative reporters at the Wall Street Journal to find out just how much personal information websites can collect without our knowledge. And the series What They Know is available through the Wall Street Journal, or you can also find a link to it on our webpage at our show page here at WNYC.org. We'll continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We are back with an interview I did in August with Julia Angwin. She had recently finished a series on electronic information gathering called What They Know, which was published in the Wall Street Journal, and we thought that we would re-air that conversation today. One of the things we talked about was that these websites gather tons of data about our personal preferences, our most common internet searches, and even our favorite movies. And I asked Julia Angwin, then what? What happens to all of that? Is this all bought by advertisers?
So the people who are doing the tracking are largely companies who are in the business of selling advertising. Some of them, though, are in the business of selling data. So what's happened in the past year and a half is not only is this new market has emerged for data. So some of the people who do this tracking are now selling it on sort of the open, there's like a real-time auction market, sort of like the stock exchange, where you can go buy data. Let's say you want to find everybody who loves blue shirts. Go there, buy that, and then send them ads.
And how much would that cost me?
It's very cheap, actually. The sad thing about our data is it goes for about a tenth of a penny.
And for a tenth of a penny, they discover that I like blue shirts.
Yes. It's sad. But they're buying you
Which
in
I
bulk.
Do. Like, I'm telling you it free right now on the air. I do have a lot of blue shirts. In fact, I'm wearing one right now.
Well, that's great. And we can put you up for auction.
How long has this business of spying on internet users been going on?
Well, so cookies are not new. I'm sure you've heard about cookies. They were invented in 1994 to remember your passwords and remember what you put in your shopping cart.
Netscape came up with them.
Yeah, Netscape came up with them. And they began being used for advertising right around the time the ad market began, around 2000. But what's happened now is that the scope of their use has increased so much.
So even though it costs tens of pennies to find out that I like blue shirts, we're talking about so much volume that this actually can be profitable?
Yeah. A lot of these companies that are in this business are still startups. Many of them are venture-backed. Some people in the industry would say that there's been almost $2 billion invested in advertising startups in the past 5 years, in this tracking industry.
You mentioned the stock market exchange system. This is just a recent development, isn't it?
Yeah, this is new. It used to be that when you collected data about people, you had to then directly sell it to advertisers. But now this new secondary market has arisen.
And you say that there are, your study found something like 100 middlemen, tracking companies, data brokers, all trying to meet the growing demand for personal information?
Yeah. There are a lot of companies. Nobody's been able to really quantify the size of this industry. So we just found more than 100 on the top 50 sites.
And who's actually using these? Are we talking about an ad agency going to them and saying, we want to buy this information? Or is the company itself, Pepsi-Cola or Honda or whatever, are they the ones who are buying
it? Well, generally, it's an ad agency acting on behalf of one of these big companies. I think where people are concerned is that there's no limits on who could buy this data. And so in theory, you do have these scenarios where maybe a health insurer might come in and say, I want to buy people who are buying cigarettes online, like give me the data on that. And so there are a lot of concerns about who can buy the data. But right now, we're finding that it is mostly advertisers.
I want to read some of the things that have been sent in on our comment line and have you respond to them. JT left a comment on our show page saying one big problem is that user agreements people have to agree to before creating an account are usually 30 pages long, use legal speak, and mention privacy in Section 22, subsection 4B. They're basically designed to discourage reading.
Yes, agreed. In fact, some researchers did a study and said that if everyone read all the privacy policies of all the websites they went to, they would actually waste, I can't remember, but for, you know, some untold numbers of billions of hours of man hours a year. So yes, it's really hard to read. And actually, the online advertising industry is afraid that regulators are going to, you know, or lawmakers are going to pass some laws about this. So they've been trying to increase the disclosure, make privacy policies easier to reason, try to embed little things in ads themselves that say, like, why you got this ad.
In the same way that we see these drug ads on television, which tell us all of the negative things
yes.
about the drug.
Right.
Pete left a comment on our show page asking, I know your guest is not an IT expert per se, but would she suggest using a program like Tor, which hides your IP address to remain anonymous?
Yeah, I mean, Tor addresses sort of a different kind of generally people use Tor in countries like China where the government is censoring you. And so it's a pretty robust anonymizer. It's like wearing an invisibility cloak. You could probably take some steps that are not as drastic and still keep yourself from being tracked.
Are the rules different in different places? If I were in Europe, does the European Union have different rules than the United States?
Well, so it's kind of unclear what's going on in Europe. The European Union has passed a directive which seems to say that cookies require you to consent to this type of tracking. But these directives are not law until each country passes them, so it's still sorting itself out in Europe, but certainly there is a different approach to privacy there.
I would assume that there are different approaches in Asia as well, and especially in countries where the governments are a bit more totalitarian.
Yes, absolutely.
Does someone in China have much privacy?
Well, in China,
it's not being sold to advertisers.
Right. I think the difference is that the government is just, you know, they have the ability to see even more than what these advertisers are seeing.
Which brings us to Google. You don't touch much on them, but although you did mention them earlier, but since so many people use Gmail and their search engine and all the other personal products that they offer, they must have tons of personal information about us.
Yeah, I mean, we did have a story in the series about Google, and basically that story said that, you know, Google is going a little slower than others in the online advertising industry because of the privacy concerns, right? They can't be as bleeding edge as some of the companies that we have found, but they are...
Because they're so vulnerable as it is. They're constantly being criticized
right.
for whatever they do anyway.
Exactly. They're under the eyes of all these governments, and also a privacy backlash could really hurt them the way that, you know, Facebook has suffered a couple of privacy backlashes. However, that said, they used to really say they would never do any of this type of tracking. They were, you know, Larry Page had didn't want to use cookies at all, and they have started getting into tracking in the past couple of years pretty aggressively.
How accurate are these data companies at predicting the demographics of someone who's checking a website? I'd imagine they can go wrong because a poor person could still shop for a Lexus whether he's going to buy it or not.
Yeah. You know, the thing is that these guesses can be hit or miss. But one thing about these profiles is as there's more data about you, the more accurate they can be. So the first time that one of these tracking companies sees you, they might be quite wrong. But by the time they've seen your browsing through 30 days, they actually have a pretty robust data set. And there's a whole field of what's called de-anonymization where computer scientists are trying to figure out exactly how much data is it in a profile that makes it basically uniquely identifiable. It couldn't be anyone else.
Just me.
Could be just you. Even though it's blue shirts and wine and a couple things that seem really innocuous, at a certain point, it becomes enough that it really is only you.
Well, if they're sending me ads that are about me, then whether they know my name or not, they pretty much know me, don't they?
Yeah, that's the question that's being raised, I think, by all this tracking. And that's the question the FTC is trying to decide. Right now, the rules about online advertising roll off a certain type of data called personally identifiable data, which is like your name, your social security number, your address.
Which I, by the way, have put into my computer any number of times.
Right.
And my American Express card number and other card numbers.
Right. And all that data is handled differently. You've seen that it goes through a secure connection and it's encrypted, et cetera, et cetera. And that data is treated differently than this behavioral tracking data that we're talking about. But because this tracking data has become so – these profiles have become so rich, the FTC is questioning whether they should expand the definition of personally identifiable data to include some of your behavior.
My guest is Julia Angwin, who led a team of investigative reporters at the Wall Street Journal. The resulting series is called What They Know. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. A caller mentioned that he was at a conference where it became clear that apps being installed on iPhones were sending personal information back to the developers without consent. And when Steve Jobs found out, he was livid.
Yes, he was. Steve Jobs made a big point of calling out a particular app maker that was broadcasting data that he didn't want broadcasted. And that's a big question, too, is apps. We haven't even looked in this series yet at the mobile world, but that's going to be the next frontier.
What about people who have to keep secrets? A resident physician wants to know how he can protect his computer from cookies so he can comply with medical reporting laws.
Right. Well, I think that actually this cookie data, because it doesn't have your name attached to it, probably does comply with those laws. However, there are ways to protect yourself, and we have a bunch of them listed on our website. But there's one program I'd mentioned called Abine, A-B-I-N-E, that's a browser plugin that will block cookies, flash cookies, and beacons.
Well, you mentioned that they can identify who we are, and you found one program on Yahoo that targeted weight loss ads at a girl who was just 17 and concerned that she might be too heavy.
Well, actually, what we found was that Yahoo had categorized her as 17 and feeling like she was too heavy. However, they said to us that they don't actually use that data to target ads because they don't like to target ads, weight loss ads to kids under 18. However, the interesting thing was that they did have that data in their profile, and she also was seeing ads about weight loss. Now, it could be that she saw them coincidentally or other people were targeting her.
And soon she'll be 18.
Yes. and free to see as many weight loss ads as she wants.
Are law enforcement agencies also collecting information this way?
We haven't done a comprehensive survey of it, but law enforcement agencies generally have the power of subpoena, which allows them to get data much more quickly and more specifically than this.
Well, so right now we've alarmed our listeners, and they've all decided that they're never going to dictionary.com again. You've suggested that we can go out and buy special software, but it's my sense that the minute I install that software, the company that wants to collect information about me will figure out a way to get around that software.
That is true. It is an arms race. It's constantly changing. It's hard to keep ahead of it. And it is. But by the way, the software is free, so it's a free arms race right now.
I can download that. I'm always worried when I'm offered something to download that I don't know much about. You know, do you want to do it now? Do you want to wait until later? Whether
yeah,
I'm doing
true.
Something that's going to have all sorts of terrible repercussions.
It's
somewhere
true.
Down the line.
It is true. It's hard to opt out of this tracking. But you can also go to the ad industry has a page where you can click and say, do not track me. And a bunch of companies will agree not to track you.
The Wall Street Journal website has a thing where you can type in a web address to find out their privacy policy.
Yes. We built a database of all of the sites that we surveyed, and we analyzed their privacy policies and also what trackers we found on their site.
You created for this series. So I can just go to that and find out whether something that I go to on a regular basis is adding a lot of cookies
yes,
to me.
Yes, you can see that.
What other things can we do, or does it really matter whether we do them or not?
Well, it like you said, the things that you can do are kind of annoying. They take work, and maybe you're not willing to do that work. I think that it's going to be different for different people. I think basically if you're doing something sensitive and you don't want to be tracked doing it, it's probably wise to start thinking about using this kind of defense for those behaviors.
Wasn't there an effort by Microsoft to install a button on the Internet Explorer that would allow people to avoid being tracked online?
Yeah, so some of the engineers at Microsoft, when they were building the latest version of the browser, were arguing that they wanted to build better defenses against this kind of tracking.
What happened?
Well, the thing is that Microsoft, like Google, is also in the business of online advertising. So the arm of Microsoft that sells ads, which are based on tracking, rebelled and said, you can't do this. This would destroy our industry. They called in actually a lot of the industry ad experts, and Microsoft essentially caved in to their demands.
And there are people who think that this is a good thing. Jim Harper wrote an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal after your articles were published. And he made the case that these ads help to underwrite free services like Gmail and Google Maps, as well as other non-Google affiliated free services.
Agreed. And that's what websites say, is that you are getting free stuff from us, so we are getting your data. I think the problem is that not everyone is aware that they turned over their data to get that service. And some people would probably rather pay than turn over their data.
So after you've thought a lot about all of this, if you could see anything change about our current internet privacy landscape, what would it be?
Well, I guess I worry the most about sensitive data. I worry about anorexics being targeted with weight loss ads, or children being targeted with ads that make them feel bad about themselves, or people with diseases who are, there's an ad company we ran across that targets ads against people who are bipolar. I feel like these are people who are sensitive and vulnerable and should be probably protected from tracking.
Jonathan wrote in on our show page, personally, I wish television had tracking cookies so that when the commercials came on, they would at least be somewhat relevant to me. I wouldn't have to watch those things that I'll never
coming. Don't worry. Interactive tracking on TV is the new frontier also.
Well, you ran the series. It's not all that long ago, so I suspect there have been no immediate changes. But have you gotten any sense that things may be changed as a result?
Well, I think there's a lot of action or conversation going on in Congress. There were several lawmakers who had privacy bills already and are now renewing their interest in this topic, and based in part on our series. Congressman Markey sent a letter to the top 13 companies on our survey asking them to explain why they were allowing so many trackers. So I think there will be some more conversation in Washington.
And if you'd like to know more, get the complete story. As I said, there's a link to Julia Angwin's series in the Wall Street Journal called What They Know, available on our show page at WNYC.org. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh,
it's really been great.
It's my pleasure.
And scary, too.
I'm here to help.